Good morning and blessings to all of us here. It's a real joy to be here, and thanks to all of you who served us yesterday. It's just a very good morning, blessed time together, and a couple getting married and all that. It's always a good time. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to just come together again and hear the word of God, lift our voices and sing, and be blessed together. It's a blessing. Could we just kneel together for a prayer before we start? Our Father in heaven, we do call upon you this morning in Jesus' name as we continue this time here together. We thank you for the good word that has already come. We thank you for the songs that have been sung. We ask, O God, that you would continue to help us, that our hearts would become more soft and more tender and be drawn closer to you, O Father. Lord, we ask that you would, just this morning, by your Holy Spirit, continue to dwell here in our midst, and we ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding and help us to examine our own hearts to know where we are in a walk with you. I ask, Lord, that you would give me clear thoughts, a burden, the ability to communicate what you have given. And Lord, we want to just be at a place where you can help us, where you can speak into our life and we can become more like you. Lord, build your church. We know that there will always be a people that are called out. They'll be faithful, and Lord, we desire to be a part of that. So thank you for your grace upon us. In Christ's name, amen. If you can open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke, I want to read a number of verses here in chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, as a text for a sermon this morning. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, perceive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among the thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth, are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it, bring forth fruit with patience. I think we'll stop there. Like for us to consider where we are in this little parable that the Lord gave to us. He gave four different types of soil where the seed had fallen on. And like for us to consider that there's many of us that are floating along life and we're not aware of what is happening. And there's a time going to come when we'll wake up and we'll discover that we're at a different place than we thought. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with this term, but I wrote this term up here on the board, loss of situational awareness. If you're flying an airplane, if you're a pilot, this is something that is of extreme importance. Many, many times when there's an airplane crash, this has to do with it. Many times. Here, quite a number of years ago, maybe 15 years ago, over close by Poland, there's a flight coming in. It was a passenger flight. And the weather wasn't very great. But as they were coming into the airport, you know, they have their controls that they line up with the runway, and it locks in to get the glide slope. And when they lock in, then they have the glide slope, and it brings them in right where they need to be. What happened that day is the pilot thought he had connected and locked in, and he made a mistake. And as they were coming in closer and closer to the landing, he didn't realize that they were too low. He didn't realize that. He didn't watch closely what was going on. And when they were getting close to the airport, all of a sudden there's warnings that came on, and the warning said, terrain ahead, lift up. And all of a sudden, the pilot became aware that he was at a different place in his altitude that he needed to be in order to come into the runway. And because of his loss of situational awareness, when the emergency came, he didn't have time to respond and the plane crashed. After the crash, and they got the black boxes out, and they evaluated everything, and they looked at it, they realized that at the bottom of it, the pilot had made a mistake. And not only had he made a mistake, he wasn't closely monitoring and watching what was happening. And he had a loss of situational awareness of what was going on around him. And he was depending on his instruments, and he didn't see what was really happening. Here's another account. This happened in Nepal in 2014 in February. A DHC-6 twin otter impacted a mountainside in Nepal February 2014 when the pilot in command lost situational awareness in instrument weather conditions. He descended even though the co-pilot warned him not to three times. A Nepal Airlines flight RA-183 took off from Mercara bound for Jumla with 18 persons on board. Upon leaving Pakra control zone, the pilot in command realized that the direct track was not possible due to weather and decided to proceed via a more southern track. During the flight, the pilots were experiencing uncomfortable flying environment due to the unfavorable weather conditions. Attempting to penetrate the weather ahead, the captain decided to divert to Bairahoa, the nearest airport. However, the captain did not take into consideration the surrounding terrain and continued descent, turning right. The cockpit voice recorder showed that the cockpit had warned, or that the co-pilot had warned the captain not to descend or turn. The aircraft initially slashed a small tree and finally impacted on a ridge. Due to the heavy impact, the left wing was first disintegrated, then the front part of the aircraft toppled over beyond the ridge with several subsequent impacts. And they concluded that this pilot had a loss of situational awareness. He was taking things for granted, and he was not aware of what was really happening with all his surroundings. And if you at all look into airplane crashes, flight crashes, this specific thing, loss of situational awareness, is at a very high percentage of the actual crashes that happen. When the pilot is at a place where he's not really aware of the things that are going on and his surroundings. And I like to just say this morning that it's a little bit that way for many, many people in this world today. The high majority of people that won't make it over and beyond where we're going have a loss of situational awareness, and they think they'll make it. They're not aware of everything that's going out around them. They have some goals and they have some things around them, and yet there's not a clear awareness of really where they are before God Almighty, where they are with the Word of God, with the Bible, and there's a loss of situational awareness with many people today. So this morning, in light of all that, we'd like to just simply take a look at some of Jesus' teachings about the hearts of men and women. The hearts of men and women. Here in the book of Luke. There's four hearts. And as we go through here this morning, this is the thing that I'd like for us to identify. And if you'd all have a paper, I would like for you to write down these four hearts. And then at the end, you make a specific, what's the right terminology? You identify which heart you have. If you have a paper and a pen, you could do that. There's four hearts. I'm going to give you the four hearts here in the beginning. And at the end of the sermon, I'd like for us to just consider and ask and clearly identify, this is the heart that I have. You have a pen? Do it. Okay? Here are the four hearts. The first one is the hard and careless heart. The hard and careless heart. That's the first one. The hard and careless heart. The second one is the shallow heart. The shallow heart. The second one is the shallow heart. The third one is the busy heart. The third one is the busy heart. And the fourth one is the honest and the good heart. I think we'd all like to be here this morning and say, I've got the honest and good heart. That's where I'd like to place myself. But I'd like for us to consider, as we go down through here, I'd like for us to consider and place ourselves in one of these categories. Sometimes we read through here and we realize that these are the hearts that are going to be, and you know, at the end of the world, you know, that's where, you know, some of these things are going to shake itself out. But let me just say, I'd like to suggest that every one of us here this morning has one of these four hearts. And the more that we can become aware of where we are, the more that we can make specific choices, that when we come to the place that our dear brother Jesse was just this past Thursday when he passed from this life, we can be at a place where we can rest assured that we'll have a safe landing. That's the goal here this morning, is to help us consider very closely where we really are. Consider very closely where we really are. Now, the interesting thing is, as we look at the subject, I have seen many people change from one heart to the other as time has progressed. I don't know if you identify with me on that. I see it. I have seen people who have maybe had a careless heart, a busy heart. I have seen very specific moves being taken and changes of direction and decisions and end up having that good and honest heart. I've seen that. I've seen many of those. I've also seen people who have had a very good and honest heart come up through, and maybe in the midterm of life, there's various things that have impacted where they are, and there's a specific change, and they move to where they've had a busy heart or a careless heart. I've seen that. And I'd like for us to consider that we need to have situational awareness all the time. We need to be aware of where we are. Because when we lose that awareness, we're going to end up at a place that none of us wants to be. Very, very important. Very, very important. Now, he gives us a picture here, first of all, of a garden. Now, I have to tell you that back home these days, there's a lot of change going on in our home because our daughter got married and, you know, with a whole bunch of boys left at home and no more girls left, not as much time for my dear wife. And so we're making some changes. And with all that, if you come to our place these days, our boys have worked hard, and there's these you call them raised beds. You know what a raised bed is? You know, a lot of women, you know, if you know what a raised bed is, I mean, you know, that's it. We have them. And not just one. My wife and I aren't as young as we used to be. You know, we're getting a little bit more elderly than we used to be. There's more gray hairs coming, and there's more stiffness of the back and lots of things like that, you know, that are going on. And so what we have is we have some raised beds. In fact, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'm not sure, probably around a dozen, okay? There's probably around a dozen raised beds, and it's all done up nicely, and we have gravel in between the raised beds. And these raised beds are just at the right height for Martha to walk up to, you know, and to really make that soil just right. Okay? That's what we want, right? We want soil that's in the perfect condition so that when the seeds are sprinkled and the seeds are planted, this soil is just perfect. And when the seeds are in there, all of a sudden, the plants come up through and they start to blossom. Now, Just not so long ago, we were gone. We were at a place to visit actually it was a family getaway before Kate got married. And at this family getaway, it was a big farm. And in the backyard, there was this garden. Now, for any of you that are familiar with gardening, this is the kind of garden that you definitely not want. I don't know if you heard that, but it's the kind of garden that you could see where the corn was, you could see where the strawberries were are, but let me just tell you, the weeds were like this high, and there was plants sort of scattered through, and you could find them. Let me just tell you, that's not what we're looking for, right? Anyhow, okay, consider with me that this sower, he goes out and he puts the seeds in. Martha, she goes out, puts the seeds in. And then what she also does is she walks out there. And this is how good gardeners do. You don't just go out there every 2 weeks. Every day she'll walk out there and she'll watch. And, you know, there's some weeds and she'll go. And you'll just throw them off. And you come and it's ooh, that's going to be some nice plants. And they come up and the fruit comes up. And it's like, whoo. All right. Yeah, that's what you want, right? Okay. We're talking about the garden of our heart, right? The garden of our heart. Okay. Now, the first one we want to look at here this morning is the hard and careless heart. The hard and careless heart. Now, I like to first of all relate to you, and I chose to do this morning to speak about some people who are very close and direct relatives of mine. Okay? I have an uncle. He's a brother to my dad. And I'm just going to say that to this day, he has a hard and careless heart. And he's not walking with God at all. He's not walking with God at all. His name is Roman. He's an elderly man. I enjoy talking with him. we're good friends. But I'd like to just tell you a bit about the journey of his life. He was a young man. He grew up with my father in the same home. And coming up through, he was in a good environment. He went to church every Sunday. I'm not sure I think in their setting maybe every other Sunday. His father was a leader in the church. He was raised in a good environment. He had lots of friends growing up. When he came up to around 19 years of age, he was called into 1W service. And he was asked to serve in a hospital up by Norwalk, Ohio. He was asked to serve in there. But he went up there to enjoy life. Prior to this time, he had never made a commitment to God. To this day, I'm still wondering what all was going on in those days. It's still on my heart to find out some of those things, but I don't know. But he went to service there in a hospital, and he served, instead of going to the military during the draft, he served there in the hospital. As he was serving there in the hospital and having a good time, there's a young lady came along. He enjoyed her. And he ended up marrying her. They have two children. They're my cousins. I know them well. But they grew up, and they're married, and they have children today. But let me just tell you, my Uncle Roman, he got to that place because of specific decisions that he made. And there's a specific heart that he had that he still carries to this day that I'm very, very grieved about. And I'd like for us to consider that that heart that's at that place and where it's going to lead, where it has led. And I like to suggest that there's a very real possibility that in our midst here this morning, there are some of you sitting here who have that type of a heart. It's a hard and a careless heart. I'm sure growing up, he had lots of good intentions. I'm sure he did. He wasn't just this wicked man. No, he grew up with a lot of good, he had a lot of good intentions. But today, there's no profession of Christianity with him. There's no profession there. On occasion, they'll attend church. On occasion, they'll do that. But let's just look at the word here where it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, and the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, this gives a picture, that when the sower went out to sow, some fell by the wayside, or right beside the path, and it was trodden down. There's people walked through that, and you know, it packed it down, and when it was supposed to sprout, it didn't sprout. And then the birds came, and they got the seeds and they ate it. They ate it. Now let's see Jesus' interpretation. This is what he says about it. In verse 11 he says it's this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those that are by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word. I don't know if you get that. I have to read that again. Those that by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word. How did you get that? Lest they should believe and be saved. What actually happens is when you have this kind of heart, this hard heart, this heart that isn't receiving the word of God, the devil actually comes and he takes the seed and he swipes it away and you don't have it anymore. Why is that? It's because of the condition of the heart. It's because of the condition of the heart. The hard and careless heart. The hard and careless heart. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let me just tell you that there's the devil is just waiting to snatch that word of God out of the hearts. There might even be some here this morning who, as the word is being preached, your heart is being pricked. God is speaking to your heart, and as you're here, you're considering, well, where am I with God? And you know that you ought to be in a place where you respond and you yield your heart to God, and yet you're at a place of decision. And let me tell you, if you make wrong choices and decisions, even this morning, the devil is going to come and he's going to take that seed and he's going to take it away. He's going to take it away. And when the word is taken away, what do you have? End up in a place very similar to my Uncle Roman. Very similar place. God help us. God help us. Let me just tell you that this heart ends up in destruction and hell. It ends up in destruction and hell. You know, today, it's been on my heart for some time already, but I would like to go and sit down and just have a long talk with my Uncle Roman about all this and hear what's really going on. He's coming up there in age. I'm just going to say he's probably right around 70 years of age today. He's getting up there. For many years, he worked for GM as a die maker. Had a nice retirement. He's living in Shelby. And there he is. He's coming to the end of his life. And what is there to show for? Same environment, everything else that my dad did. The hard and careless heart. Now, consider with me, is this your heart today? Is this the heart? Is this your heart today? The second one that I would like to talk about is the shallow heart. The shallow heart. And I'm going to say that I'm going to use another one of my uncles to exemplify this as well. The shallow heart. His name is Jake. He's a brother to my mom. As a young man, my Uncle Jake, he grew up in the same home as my mom. He's a couple years younger. He's probably 6 or 7 years younger than my mom. Today, he's probably in the middle 40s or so. in the middle 60s. He's probably in the middle 60s today. But as a young man, there's lots of good things happen in the home. His dad was also a preacher. He was in a good setting. And let me tell you that in growing up, he was one of those that had lots of energy and lots of zest and lots of ambitions and all kinds of dreams, and everything else was going for him. And we're talking about the shallow heart. There was a day in his growing up older teenage years that there's a day that he made a commitment. He knelt down and he prayed and he said, God, I want to serve you. And he made a commitment. But that commitment didn't last very long. Sometime later, he was one of those men that loved to travel the world. He did a lot of biking. He also, in his around 20 years of age, he took his car and he went out to Arizona. And he's one of those men that loved to be by himself, laid out on the beach, and I could tell you all kinds of stories of things that happened at nighttime. He woke up and the danger that surrounded him with evil men. And he did a lot of traveling. He was one of those that, you know, he didn't have a lot of money. He made enough money for tomorrow and the next day, then he traveled a couple more days, and then he worked a little bit more, then he kept on going because he wanted to see Alaska. But he's one of those that made a commitment, then he fell into sin, and then he'd repent again and make some more commitments. And then he'd go his way again and do more things and fall into more sin, and then he'd come back and repent and confess his sins again. And then he'd keep on going again. It's a shallow heart. I don't know how many times over the years that he made commitments to God. He had a desire to serve God. He wanted to be faithful. He wanted to be one of those that served God. But his level of commitment was very, very shallow. Time went on, And he had a child outside of marriage. Ended up marrying the lady. Ended up having four children together. Then after living together for about 20 years, his wife left him. She divorced him. She's gone. Time went on. Actually, even after he got married, he recommitted his life and went to church for a number of years, but then quit again. Here more recently, he was at the place where, you know, my grandpa is gone now. But prior to his passing, he came to my grandpa and he said this. He said, "I know that it's wrong. My wife has left me. I know it's wrong for me to go and marry another wife. I take another woman. I know that." But recently, he was living with another woman. Let me just tell you that the shallow heart is a heart that makes commitments but is not willing to change the lifestyle and surrender the heart and do what it takes to serve God. This is what Scripture says. They on the rock, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? They on the rock are they which when they hear the word, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. And in the time of temptation, they fall away. Let me just tell you, my dear friends, this morning, that there is a lot of people in this category. There's a lot of people that make this level of commitment because they want to serve God. They want to do what the Bible says, but there's a very shallow commitment. There's very shallow soil in their life. They're not willing to come to the place where they change their lifestyle, where they change their friends, where they take drastic measures with their social media, with everything about their lifestyle, the way they eat, everything. See, when it comes to serving God, we need to be at a place where we surrender everything. Today, my Uncle Jake, he's in his mid-upper 60s, and he's with another woman, and he's made commitment after commitment after commitment after commitment. And he has lots of good intentions, but look where his life is today. Not only that, it's been just a little bit over a year ago that his only son, Zach, they have three daughters and one son. Just a little bit over a year ago, my cousin Zach, his only son, was on a motorcycle. He was driving down the road at around 50 miles an hour underneath a traffic light, and a semi-truck, didn't see him coming, pulled into the intersection, killed him immediately, and he's gone. And there's no level of commitment on my cousin Zach's part at all. He's gone. The shallow heart. Now, for the shallow heart, there's few personal convictions that help bring any kind of stability. Anything that floats around and feels good, they tend to follow. There's few personal restraints, but they still have a strong desire to serve God. Right? There's still a strong desire to serve God, but because there's a shallow commitment, that soil where the seed has come in, that soil is so shallow, and where there's a little bit of moisture, the seed had sprung up. And as soon as the sun came down, it vanished away. It dried up, and it's gone. It withered away. That commitment is gone. Fall back into sin. Fall back into their own way. Let me just tell you, there are many, many, many Many people today that say, I'm a Christian. There's many today that have all kinds of commitments. And yet, let me tell you, there's a shallow heart. And unless there is very specific changes made in that heart, and you do a little bit like my wife does. You know, she goes out there and she takes that thing and she gets that soil, you know, this deep, all worked up, all just perfect, till the soil goes in there and the rain comes and it's just perfect. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people today, and maybe some even in this room here this morning, that have the shallow soil, the shallow commitment. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that shallow heart, there's the destination is going to be eternal destiny in hellfire. That's where it ends up. That's where it ends up, because there's no root. There's no foundation. There's not a willingness to simply make decisions and choices and do whatever it takes to change my life, to change my own heart, to bring my own heart to a place where the seed of God can sprout and change. The shallow heart. The shallow heart ends up in destruction and hell. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of Bible reading and prayer at times, but it's almost disappeared. There's a lot of good intentions, but, you know, there's no solid foundation. There's, again and again, God, would you please forgive me? But then 2 days later, we fall into sin again and go my own way. Let me just tell you, the shallow heart will end up in destruction and hell. The busy heart. I'd like to relate to you an account of a man that I knew very well. His name is Olin Miller. He lived about 2 miles from our place growing up. I went to school with his daughters. He had 4 daughters. I went to school with them. He, Olin, had as a young man gotten converted, had a fairly dramatic conversion. He was one of those that in his younger days did whatever he wanted to, had no level of profession. And then God got a hold of him, and he had a dramatic conversion. And for many years, he was a faithful man. He ended up being in a local Mennonite church. In fact, the church at the end of our driveway is a church. He pastored that. He was a senior bishop there for quite a number of years. Very well known. He's a very powerful man. He loved God. He had a good testimony for many years. But the day came when busyness overtook him. He had a coal mining operation in the little town of Barr's Mill. He had it was pretty good size, and he was very, very involved with that. And as time went on, it took a lot of his time, and then in church there were some struggles and problems going on. And I don't know all the details, but there's a Sunday morning that came, and he didn't tell the rest of the leaders. He didn't tell his wife, no one, but he came up front and told the church he's resigning from his leadership. Don't know all the details, but I knew him very well. He's a neighbor. I went to school with his children, knew the family well. From what I was told at that time, this dear man, his name is Olin, his intention was to back away and allow some of the church stuff to, you know, to find its way and then come back again. But in the middle of all this, he made a decision. He made a choice and a decision to pour his energies into the work situation in a more deeper and greater way. And as he did that, the church thing, he became more distant from the church. But about 2 years went by, and at the end of 2 years, he started going to the bars. And time went on, and he had another lady friend. And time went on, and he removed himself out of the home. He left his wife. Time went on, and he owned a bar, and he owned some horrible things. And time kept on moving on, and the day came when I heard, I hadn't seen him for a number of years, and I met him. We talked, and there was this cold laugh in his heart. There was this cold laugh in his heart. When he spoke, there was this cold laugh. You don't hear that very often. I knew him well. Very, very different from where he used to be. Anyhow, I'm going to say about 20 years went by, and I got a phone call one day. They said, Olin Miller passed away. He was in Raggersville at a bar, and on the way home, he hit a tree, and he died. I knew the man very well. I went to school with his children. He was a changed man. He was one of those men that had a complete transformation of life. He carried a very good testimony for many years. But he made a decision to allow the busyness of his life to detour him and to get him away. And let me tell you, that's a dramatic story. But let me tell you, there might be some here this morning that maybe it's not that extreme, but you know that because of the busyness of life and the cares of this world, it is derailing your spiritual life. And there's a shift going on, and you're moving slowly but surely away from God. Let me just tell you where you at with your situational awareness this morning. Where are you at? Now here it says, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 14 it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Now let me just read that again. This is what's choking it out. It's the cares and the riches and the pleasures. The cares, the riches, and the pleasures are choking out the spiritual life and bring no fruit to perfection. Let me just tell you that in this transition period, there's a lot of, I want to serve God. There's a lot of desire there. But life is good. Our jobs keep us busy. We have a lot of friends. And we still do some Bible reading and prayer at times, but it's slowly disappearing. We don't have any intention of forsaking God. We really don't. But there's a pressure. And our hearts are going after the busyness, the pleasures, and the riches. And it's choking out the Word of God. Let me just tell you, when we find ourselves at this place, we need to be at a place where we make some very clear, permanent decisions that help us to change and help our heart to become soft and pliable and that Word of God to sprout and to be able to move forward. There's lots of good intentions. Let me just tell you that Olin Miller, he had a lot of good intentions. And I'm going to suggest that even when he stepped back from leadership in the church, he had a lot of good intentions with that as well. But I'm going to say that he closed his heart to brotherhood. He closed his heart to advice and direction. The busy heart. And I'd like for us to just continue to examine our hearts. Where are we? Which heart? Which of the four hearts do we have? Which of the four hearts do we have? Do we have the stony hard heart? Do we have the shallow heart? Do we have the busy heart? Or do we have the honest and good heart? Here's the fourth one, the honest and good heart. The honest and good heart. I like to again use maybe one of my uncles as an illustration of this honest and good heart. The honest and good heart. I'm going to say his name is Paul. As a young man, he grew up in the same home as my mom did. He grew up with a desire to serve God. And as a young man, he made strong commitments in serving God with all of his heart. As a young man, he was involved with other young men from their youth group. And they would get together and they would sing and they would have Bible studies together. He was one of those that made a choice to do what it takes. In fact, time went on. He got married and he had a couple children that had tremendous physical issues. He had two daughters that they went through horrible suffering and then ended up dying at about 4 or 5 years of age. He had two daughters like that. And in the middle of all those difficult things, he made a decision to surrender, to continually surrender his heart to God. Because of his love for God, here, I don't know how many years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago, in the church setting that he was, there were things going on in the brotherhood. The church was moving into apostasy quite rapidly. And as he was, and as all that was happening, he was actually ended up being a leader in the church. He ended up being a leader in this church. But the church as a whole was apostatizing. And he had three sons and one daughter. And as these children were coming up through, the oldest one, I'm not sure, the oldest one was maybe 18, 19 years of age. As he looked at the long-term future, he looked at what was going on and he made a decision that I cannot raise my family in this setting. The church did an outreach. There were some very painful things in what all they had to go through. But he was one of those that at the bottom, at the heart of it all, he had a commitment to serve God and he valued brotherhood. And he was willing to do with his own life whatever it took for him and his family to be at a place where there could be a long, solid, long-term walking with God. And he made decisions. And let me just tell you that those types of decisions that he made are not easy. That type of decision brings about much agony and crying, and it, you know, it's the kind of thing that tears at our hearts. Let me tell you, he was one of those that he made deliberate choices time and time and time again. And as the word kept falling on good ground in his heart, the word continued to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. He continued to make decisions. Today, two of his sons are in leadership. Today, they're my cousins. Actually, I just got a message yesterday and that the oldest of the two, he's going to be ordained as a bishop in the church down in Virginia. This is coming Sunday. They're doing very well. The family is doing well. Let me just tell you, my uncle, he made decision after decision after decision that were difficult and hard, and he kept his heart at a place where God kept speaking in, and God kept putting those seeds in there, and the seeds brought forth good fruit unto righteousness. In verse 8 it says, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And let me just say that again. Jesus, when he was giving this, he said, when he came to this, and he said, let me just read it. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's what Jesus is looking for. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Where are the people that are at a place that are willing to evaluate their heart and to have this situational awareness? Be at a place where they open their heart to God and they make deliberate choices because they see what they need to do and they're willing to bring change into their life, whatever it needs to. Whatever the need is to bring change into their life so that the seed from God can fall on good ground and bring forth fruit an hundredfold. In verse 15 it says, but that on a good ground are they which in an honest heart and good heart, having heard the word, now listen to this, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. They keep it. Having heard the word, they keep it. They do it. It becomes a part of their life. These are some of the things that happen in an honest and good heart. A man with an honest and a good heart walks in continual repentance and humility before God. A man with a good heart seeks God with an honest and a good heart. A man that has an honest and a good heart, he yields everything to Christ. He yields everything. For Christ's sake, he yields everything. A man with an honest and a good heart, he has open accountability with the brotherhood. He's open with the brotherhood. He doesn't try to hide, but he's open with the brotherhood. A man that has an honest and a good heart is open for counsel, open for direction from brothers and sisters, from authorities. He has an open heart. A man that has an honest heart, honest and open heart, doesn't hold grudges. He forgives. And there's bearing of fruit unto righteousness. And he's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the fruit that comes forth is beautiful. See, we just did this little garden, all these raised beds. But why don't you come to our place next June, okay? All right, you come to our place next June, and you'll walk through there, and you look at all these raised beds, and you know I know my wife well. I know how she does stuff, right? Okay, it'll be nice, right? she's a good gardener. She's a good gardener. Let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, God is looking for men who are willing to just simply take the word of God, make decisions that brings lifestyle changes, whatever it takes. Follow God all the way. Let me tell you. I don't know how to say this. There's too few of these kind of people around. Do you know what I mean? There's too few. There's way too few. Now, I'd like for us to just consider, which heart do you have? Which heart do you have? Do you have the hard and careless heart? Do you have the shallow heart? Do you have the busy heart? Do you have the honest and the good heart? Let me just tell you, if you have one of the first three, let me just tell you, there's a need for you to fall down on your face and repent and to make life choices and decisions that bring you to a place where your heart is soft and tender and that God can speak, work, and you can keep His will. And it's all of our decisions, right? I can't stand before judgment one day and say, you know, Brother Timothy, he did this to me, and he just, you know, all this and that. I can't blame it on Timothy when I stand before God. I can't do that. Or Joseph. Or Joel. I can't. It's up to us. Where are we? And again, many of the accidents that happen on landing are because of loss of situational awareness. People are literally not aware because the seed has been plucked out. People have come to a place of deception, not aware where they are, and there's a crash upon landing. They wake up one day. But this morning, God is here, and He's saying, make choices, make decisions, become aware of really where you are, and follow God. May the Lord help us with all that.